Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mully and Hall, mornings live at 5 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We are delighted to welcome Jimbo Covert. He joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. And he will have to sign it HOF from now on, even if he's writing a check. Doesn't matter. You got to include it. Good morning, Jimbo. How are you?
Good morning, Jimbo. Congratulations.
Good morning, guys. It's been an awesome morning. How are you guys?
We're doing great.
So when did you get the call?
Well, I'm actually out in San Francisco, so it was quite early I got the call this morning. And Dave Baker gave me a call before it actually went on the air, so that was a good thing. I was on, when it first came on, I was on pins and needles. I said, I don't think they're going to announce anything. And then Dave Baker gave me a call, and it was pretty emotional. It was pretty awesome.
How would you describe your feelings, Jimbo? Obviously, you've waited a long time for this. Everybody knows, remembers your career, how deserving this is. And just when you got the news, what was your reaction?
Well, it was really emotional, you know. I mean, I thought about my dad, my family, and, you know, my wife, the kids, all the stuff, you know, you had to go through all those years. And then all your teammates and everybody you played with and, you know, your coaches. And, you know, it's just all the way back to, you know, kind of Pop Warner football and all your buddies from high school. I mean, everything just kind of flashes before you in a quick period of time, and you just get really emotional with it. So I was pretty emotional on a call with Dave this morning. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know what to expect. You know, I mean, Dan Pompey did such a phenomenal job, and Dan and I were in contact on this whole thing. And, you know, I mean, he's just saying, hey, you got a chance, and, you know, we're just going to keep putting it out there. And, I mean, he's one of the best. And when, you know, you have your case in the hands of a guy like Dan Pompey, you know, I mean, you feel like, you know, you got a chance. And I think when this centennial thing came up, you know, it was my best chance in a long time. And just worked out.
You know, it's I don't know how you feel about it in terms of the other guys that played with you, but you certainly are representative of that entire offensive line. We talked to Tom Thayer a little bit earlier in the program, and he just, you know, all your teammates knew that you belonged in the Hall of Fame for everything you had done. And you know, it just must be a great feeling to be hearing from everybody this morning and getting all sorts of texts and all that.
Yeah, I mean, my phone's been blown up already this morning, and it's just an awesome feeling. And, you know, I mean, the guys that I played with, you know, the five guys I played with and on that offensive line, Borchi and Hilgi and Tom and Horn, we're all really close, and, you know, we're like a family within a family. And, you know, I talked to Horn the other day, and he congratulated me on, you know, just getting to the 20, and that's, hey, we still got a ways to go. But, I mean, these guys mean so much to me and my teammates and, you know, the guys I played against and practiced against every day in Lake Forest. It's just a remarkable feeling. I mean, you're almost speechless somehow, and I'm usually not that way. But this morning, I definitely have been.
Consensus All Pro in 85 and 86 out of Pitt, Jimbo, and obviously, as dominant as you were in your career with the Bears, you played 83 to 91. You retired a young man. And do you think that was used against you sometimes in the argument previously to why you weren't in the Hall of Fame? Because nobody that remembers how dominant you were when you played would argue that you deserve to be there, but maybe it was because you played such a short time?
Sure. I think that was the case. And, you know, I think what happens is back then, you know, when I retired in, you know, 92, you know, longevity in a career was a really big kind of hurdle you had to get over to be in the Hall of Fame. And I think that's why I just kind of fell through the cracks. And then, you know, guys like Dan Pompey and Rick Gosselin, people like that, just kind of reexamined all those guys that have, you know, fell through the cracks and you know, made all decade teams. But, you know, like Kenny Easley was one of them, and him and I were kind of in the same deal. And then when Terrell Davis made the Hall of Fame at his short career, I think things started opening up a little bit, and then the conversation started to get reignited, and I was happy to see that. So, and then Dan took it up, and, you know, Rick and guys like that, and it just kind of had a little bit of momentum. And then I think the centennial class was a godsend, because, you know, they were trying to honor the whole history of the NFL, and rightly so. A lot of the guys that played in the, you know, 30s, 40s, 50s, 20s should be honored. But I think, you know, it gave an opportunity for guys that have fallen through the cracks to get a little recognition. And I was one of them.
You know, I always wanted to ask you about this story, because I was told that that Dan Hampton, when he went to Arkansas, Jimmy Johnson was there, and Dan was like was an offensive lineman, and Jimmy moved him to defensive line, and you were a defensive lineman, and Jimmy helped move you to the offensive line when you went to Pitt. Is that accurate?
It's not entirely accurate, but Jimmy did recruit me as a defensive lineman, and I played there my freshman year, and then he ended up going to Oklahoma State.
Right
after my freshman year. And then Joe Moore, who was my, you know, was the line coach at Pitt at the time, went to Jackie Sherrill and said he wanted me to move to offense. And Jackie's like, no, he's going to stay there. And then halfway through spring ball, my sophomore year, they moved me over, and the rest is history. So, yeah, and I started there for 3 years. So kind of half of the truth.
Well, what's amazing, what I was going to say is Jimmy's in your class now, right?
Yeah, I
mean, that's
ironic,
weird, you know?
Yeah, it is weird. It's karma, I guess. I don't know. But, you know, how the planets align. But, yeah, it's just an awesome feeling.
You played for some great position coaches. You mentioned Joe Moore, and obviously with the Bears, Dan Fell. And what stands out about guys along the way who helped you get to the point where you are today?
Yeah, I mean, Dick Stanfield was such a great coach, and you know, he was a better person, though. And, you know, he played in the league and understood, you know, what it took to prepare and do things the right way and go to work with a professional attitude. But he was just, you know, he wasn't as maybe a tactician as, you know, from a technique perspective as a guy like Joe Moore, but he had everything else. And you just respected the hell out of him because of how he played the game and what he was as a coach and as a person. And, I mean, he meant the world to me. And I talked to Rich Stanfield the other day about his dad, and, you know, I wish he was around to see this too. So, I mean, and I wish he was alive when he got in too. And that was a shame that he wasn't. So, I mean, this is just, you know, when you see something like this, and you just want people that meant so much to your career to be around to celebrate with you.
You know, what is it that makes a great offensive lineman? I mean, how much of it is the natural athletic ability that you had, you know, the natural power that you had, everything you developed, but what else goes into it?
You know, I just think it's just a lot of desire. And, you know, playing offensive line is kind of a boring job. You know, I mean, it's repetition, 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 and it's not as glamorous. And when you do really well, you know, everybody else gets the credit, right? And so, you know, I always told people that, you know, when I was going to those, you know, those camps and stuff, I said offensive line, it was kind of like, take your ego, put it in your back pocket, and zip it up, because no one's going to tell you how good you are, right? They're going to tell you how bad you are. So it's never good for your ego, but they're not going to tell you how good you are. So I think that's part of it, you know. And I played defense, and I went over there, and I had adjusted that, but I took a little bit of a defensive mentality of the offensive line position from an aggressive perspective, and I think that really helped me when I first got to play that position. And then I think it's just kind of the way I tried to play the game was just physically try to dominate people, and usually you can wear people down that way. And I think a lot of guys that I played against respected that, and I know guys that I played with did. So, I mean, it's just been, you know, I think it's a special kind of person to play offensive line, and I'm just happy to be part of that fraternity.
Jimbo, if you talk to a quarterback or a running back about their most memorable game, and they'll talk about touchdowns or yards and pass rusher, maybe how many sacks, but when you talk to an offensive lineman, it might be more difficult to pinpoint. What was your most memorable game?
Oh, geez. I mean, there's so many memorable games out there. I don't know. I just think what I was able to, you know, our line, not just me, because, you know, when you think about playing offensive line, it's a team sport. I mean, it is. And you can't single yourself out and you play that, because every piece has to work. And the five of us kind of work like a clock, like a well-tuned machine, you know. And so I just remember when just games – I remember we played in Minnesota one time. I think it was like 89 or 90. I can't remember. At home. And we had to win the game. And I think we ran the ball like 17 times in a row, right, to win the game. I mean, I always say, if you got a great offensive line – And you could, sometimes you got to take control of games. You know, you got to take control of games and win games and make first downs and keep the ball and let your defense pin their ears back and do the things that they do. And our defense was good at doing that. So those are the things you remember, things like that. I mean, they're not – a lot of people don't remember, but offensive line guys remember things like that.
I know Leroy Selman said one time you were the best he ever played against. Who was the best you ever played against? Was there ever anybody that gave you problems?
Oh, geez. I think Leroy was the best I ever played against. But, you know, I played against so many guys in practice.
Right.
You know, I mean, Richard Dent is, I mean, fantastic. I mean, Richard Dent's one of the best guys I've ever played against. I mean, if I had to play against him in a game, right, I play against him a lot in practice, but if I had to play against him in a game, which is a little bit different speed, I'd probably say he's the best. I mean, Dan Hampton. I mean, when I was a rookie, you know, I never saw a guy have so many pass rush moves in one pass rush, right, because he was so good at it. I mean, he'd go under your underarm and then club you back the other side. And, you know, I mean, he – you know, in college, when I was a rookie, you know, in college you'd see a guy, he'd make one move, he didn't get to the quarterback. You know, you shut it down. I mean, you know, those guys, when I got there, were just, you know, exceptional. And Dan was one of them. Steve McMichael. I mean, that whole line and Mike Hartenstein and, you know, Jim Osborne and all those guys when I first came there. I mean, I learned a lot from playing against those guys every day in practice. So, I mean, it's just, you know, our games are a lot easier.
Jimbo, what do you like about watching today's game, and what bothers you when you sit down for Sunday afternoon of football?
You know, I think we might have talked about this one time. I just think technique-wise, the offensive line has gotten, you know, just a bit sloppy on some things. You know, Joe Moore would be rolling over in his grave if he saw things like that. So, I mean, you know, he would have us down in the if we got our footwork messed up, he would have us down in the, we call it the hole at Pitt Stadium underneath, and we'd be doing mirror dodge for 3 hours, you know. Yeah, I just don't like to see, you know, sloppy footwork and, you know, things like that on the offensive line. Just, you know, kind of technique. They play a little bit too high and things like that. But that's just me, because I'm an offensive line, I'm kind of a geek, and see some really good coaches out there. And, you know, I think, you know, I know Harry's not there anymore, but Harry was, I think, an exceptional coach, and he was a Joe Moore guy. And I just, you know, sad to see him leave, but he's one of the best in the league. And guys like that are the guys that are keeping all that stuff alive.
You mentioned all the people that went through your mind when you got the call. What about the hard work you put in? Did that go through your head? Did you think about this sort of thing that you're telling us about?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think it was that. It was more just relationships, because, you know, football is just such a I always tell people that, it, you know, when you think about my career, and I, you know, was very, you know, lucky after football and still am today. And but, you know, football is such a small part of your life chronologically, but a gigantic part of your life emotionally. And right. And you just think about a lot of the things that, you know, the highs and lows. You can't ever replace that in anything. You think you can, but you can't. And just your teammates and being around them, and you miss all that, you know. So I just think that whole piece of it is what I thought about a lot today.
He's Jimbo Covert, the Bears Hall of Famer. Jimbo, thanks a ton.
Congratulations.
Great catching up with
Jimbo.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores. Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.